Canto 3, Chapter 10, Divisions of Creation. We'll cover 9 verses. They're very short purports. And tomorrow we'll discuss 10 and 11. It gets really amazing. So Chapter 10, from Canto 3, Text 1. Sri Vidura said, O great sage, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mine after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, yesterday, we ended the chapter where the form of the Personality of Godhead was before Lord Brahma. The form is described. Brahma offered prayers for creative potency. The Lord blessed him, gave the benediction that here's the potency you require. So now what happens next is the question, and specifically creating the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind. That's Visarga, and we're going to hear that. Sarga is certain whole bunch of things happened up to the appearance of Lord Brahma. That's been elaborately discussed in previous chapters. Now is another Bhagavatam topic, Visarga, Bhakti Brahmadu. O greatly learned one, text 2, kindly eradicate all my doubts. That would be very nice. And let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Purport. Vidura asked all relevant questions of Maitreya because he knew well that Maitreya was the right person to reply to all the points of his inquiries. One must be confident about the qualifications of his teacher. One should not approach a layman for replies to specific spiritual inquiries. Such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teacher, are a program for wasting time. Text 3. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu. Son of Bhrigu is Shonaka. The great sage Maitreya Muni, thus hearing from Vidura, felt very much enlivened. Everything was in his heart. And thus he began to reply to the questions one after another. Purport. The phrase Sutta Uvacha, or Sutta Goswami said, appears to indicate a break in the discourse between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. While Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Sutta Goswami was only one member of a large audience, but Sutta Goswami was speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by the sage Shonaka, a descendant of Shukadeva Goswami. And I don't know if that's a typographical error. Descendant of Bhrigu Muni. Seems like. This, however, does not make any substantial difference in the topic, the topics under discussion. Meaning, what's the chronology, and who's speaking to who, and while it's factually interesting, it doesn't make a substantial difference. The substance of the subject matter isn't changed. So, Shukadeva Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. Sutta was in the audience. Sutta heard. And Sutta's repeating to the sages. And when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, he referred to a prior conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. So there's story within a story within a story. So Maitreya is speaking to Vidura, heard from Shukadeva Goswami, now repeated by Sutta Goswami. O son of Bhrigu, here's what happened next. Maitreya felt very much enlivened. Everything was within his heart. Hridi sthan. And thus he began to reply to the questions one after another. Text 4. The greatly learned sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years. So he hasn't. It appears that he hasn't done that, but before seeing Lord Vishnu, he did that. So, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years as advised by the Personality of Godhead. It's not, the indication is not, I don't know, I'm the layman. The prior description is the 100 celestial years of meditation took place by hearing the syllables tapa, then the Supreme Lord appeared. So it's not like he went back and did another 100 years of celestial meditation, or 100 celestial years of meditation. So it's just a summary. O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years as advised by the Personality of Godhead, and applied himself in devotional service to the Lord. Purport. That Brahma engaged himself for the Personality of Godhead, Narayana, means that he engaged himself in the service of the Lord. That is the highest penance one can perform for any number of years. There is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging. Text 5. Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water on which the lotus was growing were trembling due to a strong, violent wind. Even Brahma has troubles. Purport. The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Thus, when engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world, may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There's a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee. And sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. I can imagine seated on a lotus flower in the midst of a torrential wind. Text 7. Text 6. Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge, and thus he drank the wind completely, along with the water. Good solution. Purport. Lord Brahma's struggle for existence is a personal example of the continued fight between the living entities in the material world and the illusory energy called Maya. Beginning from Brahma down to this age, the living entities are struggling with the forces of material nature by advanced knowledge and science and transcendental realization. One can try to control the material energy, which works against our endeavors. And in the modern age, advanced material scientific knowledge and tendencies have played very wonderful roles in controlling the powers of the material energy. Such control of the material energy, however, can be most successfully carried out if one is a soul surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carries out His order in the spirit of loving transcendental service. Pretty neat where Prabhupada is giving credit to the scientists for something, including controlling the forces of material nature. I've been listening to explanations where Prabhupada doesn't give an inch. Fraction of an inch. Rascals. They're controlled at every moment, and they're saying they will control. He's forced to take birth. He's forced to die. He's forced to get old. And they say, we're working on it. Never was there a time when someone did not die, but they're working on it to prolong life and live forever. Rascals. Control the day. But in any case, here Prabhupada is giving them some credit. By advanced knowledge in science and transcendental realization, one can try to control the material energy, which works against our endeavors. And in the modern age, advanced material scientific knowledge and tenets have played very wonderful roles in controlling the powers of the material energy. Very rare sentence from our founder, Acharya. Of course, their doing so is, if at all, is by the gift of material, the personality of Godhead. And ultimately, He's controlling and sanctioning. And their ability to control is control, or the ability to manipulate in any way is controlled. So, text 7. Thereafter, He, that's Lord Brahma, saw that the lotus on which he was situated was spread throughout the universe. And he contemplated how to create all the planets which were previously merged in that very same lotus. So this appears to be one of Brahma's days, not the beginning of Brahma's life. Purport. The seeds of all the planets in the universe, the seeds, were impregnated in the lotus on which Brahma was situated. All the planets were already generated by the Lord. And the living entities were also born in Brahma. That's the sarga. What's he going to say? The material world and the living entities were already generated in seedling forms by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Brahma was to disseminate the same seedlings all over the universe. The real creation is therefore called Sarga, and later on, the manifestation by Brahma is called Visarga. So the seedling forms one model or conception of that is the universal form. On the body of the universal form, all these things are situated, and that is something like a blueprint before the house is built or a thing is made. It's subtle. Subtle material form where the seeds, it's something like what Prabhupada says about extinction of species. There's no question of extinction of species. They may not be manifest, but the primordial, like this language here, seedling forms, they exist. And to manifest the forms, and to manifest, to reactivate the souls who are to occupy those forms, because the souls are were in the body of Mahavishnu, and by his glance, the pradhan has now impregnated those living entities again within matter. So the souls entering into matter. And the configuration of the forms, like the species, is to suit the guna and karma of the living entity, the quality, the capacity of the living entity. So they're pre-existing in a subtle form. In a seedling form, in this language, let's see what the Sanskrit is. Thus engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma entered into the whirl of the lotus, and as it spread all over the universe, he divided it into three divisions of worlds, and later into 14 divisions. And that's no purport. There's more about these three and the 14 coming up. Lord Brahma, text 9. Lord Brahma is the most exalted personality in the universe because of his causeless devotional service unto the Lord in mature transcendental knowledge. He, therefore, created all the 14 planetary divisions or inhabitation by the different types of living entities. So he's making planets, and he's going to be then making the bodies to inhabit the planets in service to the Personality of Godhead. So purport, the Supreme Lord is the reservoir of all the qualities of the living entities. The conditioned souls in the material world reflect only part of those qualities, and therefore they are sometimes called pratibimbas. These pratibimba living entities, as parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, have inherited different proportions of his original qualities, and in terms of their inheritance of these qualities. They appear as different species of life and are accommodated in different planets according to the plan of Brahma. Brahma is the creator of the three worlds, namely the lower planets called Patala Lokas, the middle planets called Bhur Lokas, and the upper planets called Swarga Lokas. Still higher planets such as Maharloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, and Brahmaloka do not dissolve in the devastating water. This is because of the causeless devotional service rendered unto the Lord by their inhabitants, whose existence continues up to the end of the Dviparadha time. That's the end of the day of the end of life of Brahma, when they are generally liberated from the chain of birth and death in the material world. Now the other planets, the other four, Maharloka, Janaloka is commonly Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka and Brahmaloka are interchangeable terms. It's presented differently here. Pratibimba, living entities. Spend a little bit of time with that. Pratibimba means, as it's stated here, reflection. So Krishna is the reservoir of everything, including the reservoir of qualities, and part of those qualities are invested in the living entity. You know this example of the 64 qualities, 50 in the living entity, partially exhibited. And so some of those partially exhibited living entities, some have more percentage or quantum of them, some less. And then the demigods and so forth have more. And the rest of us have less, and then there's some that have less. Proportionate to their awakened consciousness and the personality of Godhead. Here's a statement where it from Canto 10, Chapter 88, Verse 5. This is Lord Shiva saying from Prakasura, where the position of a living entity, distinct from Lord Vishnu, is being explained. Go back a few verses. Lord Shiva, Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature, manifesting himself in three features in response to entreaties of material, of nature's three modes. He thus embodies the three principles of material ego in goodness, passion, and ignorance. No purport. Next text. The 16 elements as he has, have evolved as transformations of that false ego. When a devotee of Lord Shiva worships his manifestation and any one of these elements, the devotee obtains all sorts of corresponding enjoyable opulences. Technical. Text 5. Lord Hari, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing, eternal witness who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him becomes similarly free from the three modes. So in that purport, the distinction between the living entity and Vishnu, not so much between Vishnu and Shiva, the distinction between the living entity and Vishnu is described in how it is that by contact with Vishnu, the living entity becomes liberated or aloof from the effects of the modes of nature. So, quoted, Sridhar Swami, following passage from the Vedic literature, it doesn't say which one, Bimba and Pratibimba, referring to this. When the absolute reality associates with the modes of nature, he assumes two different kinds of form in this world according to whether his spiritual qualities are manifest or not. Thus he acts just like a reflection and its further secondary reflection. The mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose individual natures are peaceful, violent, and foolish, are personally regulated by Vishnu, Brahma, and Lord Shiva, respectively. Lord Vishnu's peaceful mode of goodness does not differ substantially from his original spiritual qualities, although it is only a partial manifestation of them within this world. Lord Vishnu's mode of goodness is never tainted by agitation in passion or delusion in ignorance. By the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, the original spiritual qualities of Lord Brahma and Lord Rudra are obscured. Thus, these spiritual qualities appear only partially as separated material qualities. Therefore, focusing one's consciousness upon Lord Vishnu, the embodiment of all goodness, leads one to liberation. Such God consciousness also generates material success as a byproduct, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. This is all quotations of, or translations of verses from quoted by Sridhar Swami. According to their modes of worship, devotees of Brahma, Rudra, and other demigods obtain the limited success of material opulences. Eventually, they may possibly become qualified for full liberation. And the summary is the last paragraph. Worship Lord Vishnu because his worship is best. He alone can take one to the full capacity of living entity in a liberated state. There's other references to Bimba Pratibimba. I'll read. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. Bimba and Pratibimba are reflections and counter-reflections. And then there's another even more amazing one. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Dasa Mula Tattva, where the mula that's being discussed is Krishna's position as the absolute truth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. No one is superior to him. Nothing is smaller or larger than him. He is the one supreme being, Purusha, who has created everything complete. On his planet, he is situated like a steadfast tree, emanating great effulgence. And then from Katha Upanishad, as with fire, the one original flame expands itself throughout the world by producing many more separate flames. Similarly, the one supreme soul who resides within every jiva enters this cosmos and expands himself in a replica image known as Pratibimba, the jivas. Then he explains. An image and reflection of an object, remaining dependent and subservient to the original object, is called Pratibimba. Thus, the jiva is a reflection, bimba, replica image, Pratibimba, of the original bimba, Paramatma, the Supersoul. However, the jiva can never come to the category of bimba, the Supersoul. He will always remain outside and separate from Paramatma, the Supersoul. The jiva is the light particle that is comprised of the rays of the Paramatma sun. It's all clear, right? Bimba, Pratibimba. I went there because Prabhupada presents this in the purport. That the living entities here in the language of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, terms can be used, the same term can be used in different ways according to context. We do that in language. So, and also different acharyas have a way of using terms in a specific way, and they do that consistently. And other acharyas may use the same terms in a different way consistently, and that's okay. So here the living entity is the Pratibimba, and Paramatma is Bimba. Bimba, the image. So there's the object, there's the image, and there's a reflection of the image. So the reflection of the image, or the subsidiary reflection, the reflection of the reflection, is Pratibimba. So living Paramatma is qualitatively non-different than the personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead. In relation to what Brahma is doing, he's interacting with Lord Vishnu. We know from Sri Brahma Samhita that our Lord Brahma, he very clearly understands Lord Vishnu as an expansion of Govinda or Krishna. And the living entity is a tiny spark. According to what that living entity associates with, like the modes of nature, or one who is beyond the modes of nature, then the qualities of Krishna are exhibited to a greater or lesser degree. And the illumination, the capacity of the living entity. Prabhupada just heard Prabhupada say something very fascinating. He was describing just as the sun is spreading its rays throughout the universe, Krishna is spreading his rays throughout the spiritual sky. And then someone asked, forget the devotee's name, asked, Prabhupada, are living entities also luminous? Prabhupada meeting, he said, yes. Not only luminous, they give heat. He said, when the living entity leaves the body, immediately the body becomes cold. The light and the heat from the soul, spiritual light, spiritual heat, it spreads throughout the body, and when the soul leaves, the body becomes cold. But that little spark is not quantitatively the same as the big fire. So the spark, the more consciousness of the soul is directed to Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, the more the completeness of potential of the soul is manifest. So even the 78%, the 50 qualities, are a lesser degree than Lord Vishnu, naturally, because they're tiny. So that's one way of understanding this bimba pratibimba thing. Super soul does not manifest all the qualities of Krishna, and the living entity doesn't manifest all the qualities of Vishnu. Although they're all spiritual, and spiritual. And the living entity never becomes Paramatma. The Pratibimba never becomes Bimba. Just like to muddy the waters a little bit more. There's one more. Where in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a discussion about the forms of the Lord in his various incarnations. That's the subject that's being discussed. Here's the verse. In the Lord's own appearances on earth, he shows similar varieties and equality. The Lord's own forms are the shelter and treasure of the earth. Among them are Narayan and Dattatreya and Parashara, the son of Janmadagni, and Kapila. There are those who playfully assume the appearances of deities, and those such as Vishnu and Yogeshwara, whom you have seen on Swargaloka and other higher planets. There are such various incarnations as Machakurma, Mahavaraha, Sriman, Nrsinga, and Vamana. Each of these forms of the Lord has its own activities and names, yet all of them are full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety in substance, they are eternally one. So, long purport about various incarnations in detail. The differences between them should never be perceived to be illusory, any more than the plurality of the conditioned souls. Rather, the differences between the Lord's own forms are displays of the energies that underlie his spiritual pastimes. The differences are born of the various moods of his various worshippers, which is something from the previous chapter when Lord Brahma is offering his prayers and he's regarding Lord Vishnu. He says, you're so kind that you appear exactly in the form as the meditation or the thought of the devotee is upon you. You very kindly appear in that form. So the forms are spiritually equal. The differences between the Lord's own forms are displays of the energies that underlie his spiritual pastimes. And the prompt is the mood of the worshiper. So the Lord appears in different forms. Then this bimba pratibimba language. Therefore, this variety does not arise from the difference between an object and its reflected image, as with the sun reflected in water. If you can recall, there's the comparison of Supersoul is like the sun reflected on various pots of water. Bimba. So somebody but one. The appearance of many paramatmas is a bimba, although one. And then the pratibimba is a living entity. However, this statement in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the various lila forms and other forms of avatar forms of the Lord are not to be taken like that bimba pratibimba or pratibimba. Therefore, this variety that does not arise from the difference between an object and its reflected image, as with the sun reflected in water. Rather, the Lord's forms are like the one sun standing undivided in the sky, seen everywhere, but in different ways, in different places. So, the Lord manifests to the devotee that form according to their mood of worship, their meditation upon that form of the Lord. He shows that form. Yam shama sundaram achincha guna swarupam. The devotee sees the form of shama sundar within the heart, not the paramatma form within the heart. I mean, forearm form. Because of his love, the Supreme Lord manifests that form. So, back to text 9. Lord Brahma is the most exalted personality. We're at chapter 10, Canto 3, verse 9. Lord Brahma is the most exalted personality in the universe because of his causeless devotional service unto the Lord in mature transcendental knowledge. He therefore created all the 14 planetary divisions for inhabitation by the different types of living entities. So, there's diversity in the material world. Those diversities are according to the consciousness of the living entities. They need a suitable place, and they need suitable bodies. So Lord Brahma does that. They're in the category of pratibimba living entities, reflecting only a portion of the Lord's qualities. All the qualities come from him. And as previously stated, even the forms that are existing in the seedling state or the dormant state or the Bhaktisiddhanta's language is the prototype state from which others are produced from the prototype. So, Brahma doesn't create the prototypes. Species don't go out of extinction. I mean, don't go into extinction. They don't become extinct. They may be not manifest for some time, and tick, 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 in course of time, they may manifest, depending upon the circumstances. Sometimes Prabhupada compared species to be like residential quarters, apartments or homes or condominiums or palaces or whatever is appropriate for the guna and karma. Someone may occupy this one, someone may occupy that one, according to their capacity. But they're already existing. And then you move into the place. So, like that, the message is that the seedling stage of living entities as well as the planets are within the stem of Lord Brahma, and the answer is into the stem. And somehow takes the impression of those seedling forms and manifests them. He doesn't just like all at once manifest them, but he manifests those who manifest them. And that's the question that's been asked, how does he manifest the bodies? And coming up tomorrow is the influence of time, and how time helps things that are dormant become manifest. It's, if you think this is far out, that's really far out. Mentioned here is something that's also discussed in Brihadbhagavatamrita. That is, the planets that Brahma does not have to recreate are the upper ones. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. But from Svargaloka down, he has to recreate those planets because they're dissolved. They're dissolved in a first big fire, and then the everything turns to ashes, and the ashes then become submerged in water. Everything becomes just dissolved in water. So Brahma has to recreate those planets and populate those planets. That's his seva. And then the higher planets, he writes, I'll put in his purport, higher planets, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka, do not dissolve in the devastating water. This is because of the causeless devotional service rendered unto the Lord by their inhabitants, whose existence continues up to the end of Dviparada time, when they are generally, but not always, liberated from the chain of birth and death in the material world. No guarantee. It's a dangerous place. So, it's giving us an explanation here that the creative potency of Brahma is invested in him, and the intelligence, where to go next. And so the living entities and the planets where they reside, in the different species and the different gradations, so upper, middle, lower, specifically is described, and then further divided into 14. So some in each of those three divisions. And then the living entity. So it's going to continue the detail of this structure. And the next is, as I said, the influence of time. Because Brahma can't create without time. You can't do things without time. We're dependent. Any discussion?
Guru Maharaj, sometimes back, There was a controversy about the foreground of the jiva.
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't know that dispute. It's not really a dispute, I guess. Someone generated the controversy, but is that settled?
Why are you asking the question?
Because for my own understanding, because a few years back when I was following that, there was some explanation, I think it was from Ravindra Sutra that I saw.
That was one.
Where he describes...
That's one. That's just the time element. But there's...
Okay. Like the dream.
Yeah. So, it's funny that you ask, or not funny, it's interesting that you ask, because this topic is roaring. And you know, there it's not the same two camps as before. It's different two camps. The two camps are saying that, you know, there's abundant references where Prabhupada speaks of fall. There, and then this other camp says two things. It says there is one reference over here where Prabhupada said this one. And he seems to give an explanation of this is how it happened. So he said both things. So if you're going to give a proper, transparent representation of our founder Acharya, you are obliged to say both things were said. Although you can say this is the preponderance, you must also say that. And banning that isn't right, because that's what happened. The DVC banned that. Now, I didn't go yet and look at, you know, this other reference. What does it say? But there's a particular individual. And people are going, yeah, bash the GBC, bash them, go right ahead, yeah, get them. But that's kind of what's going on, GBC bashing. I've seen more disgusting displays of bashing than what's presently going on. It's a little, you know, it's a little like academic bashing, other academics kind of bashing. And then one of our esteemed GBC members also feels the second part, which some of these other people say, which was the way that it was handled wasn't so good. So it will... that this particular esteemed GBC member is going to present at their Mayapur his view of, you know, how we didn't handle it so well. And he wants to revisit the topic. Mm-hmm. Not so much, you know, he's not questioning, does the preponderance of information or statements by our founder Acharya speak this? I don't know exactly what his position is, but it's not to say that's wrong and this is right, because that's what was going on before. Mm. Not even the leaves in Vaikuntha fall, as there was a book title.
Right.
So, stay tuned.
But why is this so interesting? Why is this topic so philosophically important?
It has to do with, this is the Ravindra Sarup history version. Once upon a time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a right-hand man who was a super scholar. I forget his name. He would regularly turn to this person for, you know, quotes and references, and because he's a super scholar. After Bhaktisiddhanta's departure, I think in Antadasadeva, some persons said he should be the next Acharya. Mm. Some other people said, well, you know, it started, immediately started factions. This person then started propounding that Bhaktisiddhanta made a mistake on this philosophical issue. Because Bhaktisiddhanta taught Prabhupada taught what Bhaktisiddhanta taught, and Bhakti Singh, Bhaktisiddhanta taught what others didn't teach. Because he's a super scholar, it's just saying, because he wanted that position. And then there's actually, it starts, that's where it starts, and then where it goes to next is the reason that he didn't get it right is because his initiation, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's initiation, was not in descendant succession, or something like that. Mm. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brother said the same thing. Because Bhaktisiddhanta taught Shikshamai. Diksha is important, but this other group says, without Diksha, it's this. By Diksha, being recorded. By Diksha, the eternally fallen souls can be again connected through Diksha. And without that, you're eternally fallen soul. Mm. Eternally fallen. Because there's only two categories. Eternally liberated, eternally fallen. Mm. And I've got the good one. And Bhaktisiddhanta didn't get the good one. So he's like, and anyone following him is disconnected. They're a broken branch of, there's no life. They can't deliver unless it's through Diksha. Mm-hmm. Because of this philosophical issue. One, two, boom. I just replaced Bhaktisiddhanta. I'm the guy. I reject him and I take initiation from somebody that's in disciplic line. There was somebody going around at one of our Mayapur festivals teaching this. You know, he was shown the door. But it's the same, Prabhupada referred to that without giving us the history, saying even you change one word in writings of Bhaktisiddhanta, don't read those books. Because mm-hmm. they were, it was from that history. Mm-hmm. And then, it's still lingering in Vrindavan. Without the names, there are persons that are in that, Ananta Vasudeva's line that say, ISKCON's bogus because the initiator by Prabhupada was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta was bogus. On that issue, the Jiva issue, that's why it's important. Because they make, the whole political thing out of it. Anything else?
Just a clarification question about Bimba and Pratibimba. Can Bimba be thought to be similar to Swansha and Pratibimba Vipinamsha?
That's the particular application, but don't get stuck on it because there are different applications. That's one.
I was just wondering why Bimba specifically was referring to Super Soul and not all other kind of extensions of the Supreme Lord.
Can't answer that. And this is, again, it's one reference, and there are other usages and other acharyas at other times, and don't get stuck. Not a critical.